necessary, and give us instruction in all the ways of righteousness from your holy word this morning. Take my lips, Lord, and take my mind and my heart, and bring forth to us today your teaching, your preaching, your proclamation, your declaration of eternal truth forever settled in heaven. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A word of encouragement today, a word of, for me, it's a word of excitement, exhilaration, also a word of caution that accompanies it, as typically the Lord does. I'm going to begin our study this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning to read in a very familiar passage. Normally we hear this passage read at a grave, but it ought to be read long before we get to the grave, because it is a word of exhortation and it's a word of comfort to all of us who know Jesus, and it's a word of warning to those who do not. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and beginning to read in the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, the word asleep is a euphemism for those who have died. And one of the problems, if you'll read both of Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, you will see that one of the major issues that he's dealing with regard to this church at Thessalonica is the concern of those Christians there that the coming of the Lord Jesus had already occurred, and that they missed it. And the reason that they felt that way is because they were expecting that his return was imminent, and they did not think that any of them would die before he returned. And the fact is that some of them were beginning to pass on. Age was creeping up on them. He had not returned as promised. He never promised when. He just promised that he would. And they mistakenly understood that it would be very quickly. Since it didn't happen that way, there was great concern among them, and they were in a faith crisis. Are we believing a lie here? Have we put our confidence in a man who is not good to his word? And that's what Paul is referring to here when he talks about concerning them which are asleep. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not some dream that I hatched. This is the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What I am hoping to do today is for us to comfort one another with these words. We have a blessed hope. The word hope in the New Testament is from a Greek word that means not something that we wish for, as we typically use the word hope, but rather a confident expectation, a bold anticipation based upon some evidence. The evidence that we have is the Word of God, the promise of God, the unchangeable, forever settled in heaven Word of the Almighty God, who doesn't ever change what it is that He says. He never goes back on it. And so we are to comfort one another with this anticipated expectation, this confident and bold hope. What is that hope? It has been referred to in expressing the whole idea. It has been called the rapture. Rapture is not a word that is used in the Bible anywhere. It is a word that is coined by men to describe this event. What Paul is referring to here is that there is a day in the future coming. It may be this afternoon. It may be 1,000 years from now. It may be 10,000 years from now. It obviously has not happened yet. But when it occurs, Jesus Himself is going to come in the clouds. The book of the Acts tells us that the angel of the Lord, who was present when Jesus ascended to the Father after the resurrection and His 40-day walk on the earth in His resurrection body, when He ascended to the Father, the disciples were there watching this. And the angel said to the disciples, Why are you gazing into heaven like this? This same Jesus will come again in the same way that you've seen Him go. And the Scripture tells us that the clouds took Him up. And so we know that that's exactly what's going to happen this day in the future. Jesus will come. He will come in the clouds. When He comes, He will come with many of those that are already with Him. The angel of God will sound the trumpet, and the cemeteries and so on, the places where Christians are buried, the graves will open. I know this sounds like science fiction, but this is exactly what will happen. There will be great upheaval wherever the dead are buried. There are places where the dead are buried that there are no grave markers. I suspect that there are going to be some homeowners that are going to find big holes in their front yard. There are going to be places where buildings are now built and parking lots have been paved over, and perhaps where roads have gone through, where there will be great holes that will open, and those graves will open and give up their dead, and the dead will rise to meet Christ. And immediately thereafter, those of us, should it happen in our lifetime, those that are born again and anticipating His reappearing will be changed. We'll share that Scripture in just a moment. We will be instantly changed, and we will also rise from the earth to be with Him, and we will be forever with Him wherever He is. And so the Word tells us that we do not know when this is going to occur. But it does give us some advice with regard to the truth of this event. And it continues in Paul's discussion here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. We do not have to have a date for this. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, quietly, swiftly, without notice, and without warning. For when they shall say, peace and safety, in other words, those that do not know the Lord, when they think everything is just wonderful and we have many tomorrows to expect and so on, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness like that, that that day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, it will come suddenly, it will come without warning, but when it comes, the only people who should be surprised are those that are not expecting it. It should not surprise you, and it should not surprise me. When it comes, it should be, oh, yes, rather than, whoa, what is that? And our reaction because of who we are, because in whom we have trusted, and because of our anticipation, our reaction ought to be very different. Not fear, not fright, but rather joy. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Now here, the word sleep is referring to not a death sleep, but rather a sleep of, Lord, give me the word here. I want to say casual, apathy, lethargy. This is a sleep of not being aware of the potential for an imminent appearance of the Lord Jesus. It has been said that we need to live expectantly, that we need to live as if He were coming in the next twinkling of an eye, that we need to live in such a way that if He were to come right now, that we would not be ashamed of where we were, what we were doing, what we had recently done, what we were planning to do, or what we were thinking, or what we were saying. That at any given moment, since we know that it can happen at any given moment, we should be prepared that at the moment it does occur, should it occur in our lifetime, that when it occurs, that we would respond with anticipatory joy rather than, oh Lord, hold it just a minute. I've got a couple things, I've got to straighten out some stuff. I've got some things that, just a minute, Lord, I got to get on my knees here and I got to confess some stuff. We're not to be living that way. We're not to be living in such a way, is it now? No, not yet. Give me a moment, or give me a day, or give me a year. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now the word sober is an interesting word also, and it does not mean absence of intoxication. That's not what this word means. It means sober as opposed to silly. It means engaged in activities of life that matter, rather than activities of life always that are fluff. Now it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have leisure and that we shouldn't enjoy life and so on and so forth, but it does express the fact that our life ought not to be filled to the brim with things that don't matter, that don't make any difference, that are pure fluff. Now turn with me, if you will please, the Gospel of Luke to the 21st chapter. And this is actually when I was talking to the Lord about... Now when I say talking to the Lord, you all understand what I'm referring to here. Do you talk to the Lord? Does He talk to you? When I was talking to the Lord about our meeting today and what He would have me share with you, He told me to go read Luke 21. And I started to read Luke 21 and I thought, this is really strange. We've just been teaching this in our Bible study on Sunday morning. This is Luke's rendering of what Jesus has to say about the end of time and His second coming and so on and so forth. And I thought, that wouldn't be something that you would want me to bring a message at 11 o'clock on. And I just continued to read until I got down to this passage, and then I'll show you the verse that struck me. Verse 25, and this is the way He ministers to me. He'll say Luke 21, I'll just start to read, and I'll read until something strikes me. And I know when I say strikes me, I mean I could sound real spiritual and say I get a quickening, but basically it just strikes me. And then I know, okay, dig a little here. It's kind of like with me in the Scripture, it's kind of like you see these fellows wandering the beach with their magnetic gizmos, you know, looking for valuables. And they go around, like, go along the beach like this, looking in the sand for somebody who lost a wedding ring. And that's the way I do the Word. And I don't know how that, does it buzz? Did anybody ever use one of those? Does it buzz? You beep, 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 something in there, okay? It gets a strike. And that's what happens when I read the Word. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now this is referring to His coming in glory. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now this is a case where He's not coming as a thief in the night. This is where He's coming where all eyes will see Him. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And He spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all shall be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. That is a verse you ought to have highlighted in your Bible, the 33rd. And take heed to yourselves. In other words, since this is coming, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. This is the verse where I got a beep beep. Take heed to yourselves. And especially the phrase, the cares of this life. You know, the things of this life can become so occupying. They can become so all-consuming that it is very difficult for us to have any sensitivity to the fact that Jesus has promised that He is going to come without notice, without warning, suddenly, and take His people home. Those that are dead, rising from the grave. Those that are alive, changed, and rising to meet Him in the air. The cares of this life. Surfeiting is a comes from a Greek word that means feasting and gorging oneself, I would think, not just on food, but also on anything. And that, you know, you can gorge yourself on things other than food. You can gorge yourself on leisure. You can gorge yourself on fun. I got to tell you, I could gorge myself on the beach. Can I get a witness? I could. There are a lot of things in this life I could gorge myself on. Jesus warns us against it. That we ought never to get so infatuated with anything or anyone. You know, love is a wonderful thing. The love between a man and a woman is a wonderful thing. The love between a parent and child is a wonderful thing. But it ought never to be such that it takes the place of our passion for Him. And that it takes the place for our desire to be with Him. As a bride longs for her husband, so does he expect his bride. Hallelujah! 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 To long for Him. We long for Him. We can't wait for Him to come and to take us to be His spouse, to enjoy the full fruits of what marriage is. That's what He is longing for, and that's what we should be longing for. And I believe that's the purpose for me bringing this exhortation this morning, that we are not to permit the cares of this life to occupy us and possess us to such a degree that that day would come upon us unaware. Verse 35, "For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth, those who are in darkness. But we are not children of darkness, we're children of the day," Paul said. "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and then to stand before the Son of Man." Now turn with me to Philippians. I have a number of scriptures I want to share with you today, and so we'll do a little Bible hopping. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, or chapter 1, I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Paul writes the Christians at Philippi, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God." The key in this passage, at least for the purpose of our discussion this morning, is the first half of verse 27. "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Now, in the margin of my Bible, years ago, as I was reading through this passage, I wrote these words: "Live like you believe the word." The word conversation here means your manner of life, your lifestyle. And what Paul is saying here is, let your lifestyle be such that it represents the fact that you believe what the Word of God says. Let the way you live, the way we spend our idle time, the way we spend our money, the things we say and the things that we do, those things that occupy us and those things that get preeminence in our lives, let those things be an open testimony as to who we are and what we believe. And it impacts what we're talking about this morning. Now back up with me a few pages to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This would be the next to the last chapter in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And I'm going to begin to read towards the end of this chapter, the 51st. Most of the chapter is given to the subject of the resurrection and the fact that there is a difference between the resurrection body and the natural body, that there are spiritual bodies and natural bodies and so on and so forth. And then he wraps up the discussion in verse 51 and he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die." Now, everyone in this room might die. That is, if Jesus doesn't come for a couple of hundred years, it is likely that we're all going to experience death. But every Christian throughout history, in other words, there is a point in time at which the Christians who are alive at His coming will not sleep. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump," which is what we read about in 1 Thessalonians 4. "For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And so physically what is going to happen is, you really have to believe God's word in order to accept this. The Spirit of God is going to take the dust that is in the ground. Much of that dust is already mixed with the dirt that's in the ground. I don't know if even today's technology and science would be able to determine which was the dust from the remains of human bodies, and which was the dust from something else, the earthly dirt. But the Spirit of God knows. And God will take those bodies that have just died the previous day, and He will take those that have died hundreds, perhaps thousands of years previously. He will energize them, and He will create instantly millions of spiritual bodies like the body that Jesus had when He rose from the dead. In the same moment, He will take the millions of Christians that are alive on the earth. If it happens during our lifetime, He will take these mortal bodies and He will, Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye, that's faster than a blink. In the twinkling of an eye, He will take all of our bodies and He will instantaneously change them from a natural mortal body that can be killed to an immortal, incorruptible body that cannot be killed, cannot hurt, cannot get diseased, cannot get sick, and will live forever and ever and ever. That is what the Bible says. That is what Paul is teaching. That is what I'm exhorting. This is an almighty God. Now, how do I know that He can and will do it? Because He can and will, or because He has done the supernatural work already in me, that is an absolute miracle when He converted me from sinner to saint. When He took me from child of the devil to child of God. He said, God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son that if I believed on Him, I would not perish but have everlasting life. I have it. It's in here. I mean, it's already here. I know I've got it. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me will never die. I'm never going to die. This body may die, but I'm not going to die, because as strange as it is for us to understand, what you're seeing today is not the real me. If you're seeing me with your natural eyes, that's not me. Hallelujah. The real me, you can only see with your spiritual eyes. You can only see the real Vic with your spirit. Because I am a brand new, hallelujah, species of being. Old things passed away. Bless God, all things have become new. And I'm a whole lot better on the inside. Glory to God, than I am on the outside. And so are you. Now, His having done that for me causes me to have absolutely no difficulty whatsoever believing He can do this for me that we're talking about this morning. Now, if you have never had the change on the inside, and you're sitting in a service like this today, and this guy in a black jacket is standing on the platform and he is reading these and explaining this and so on, you're sitting there saying, this is wild, man. This is Rod Serling stuff. This is Twilight Zone. This is crazy. Because you cannot understand this with the natural mind. The natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. And you have to first know Jesus. You have to first have experienced Him before you know that the power that is required to do what He says He's going to do is there, available, and He has that ability, and He will bring it to pass. Verse 53, for this corruptible, that is, this corruptible body. How many of you know that your body is corruptible? The rest of you are not that stupid. How many of you know that the body you're living in is corruptible? This corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal, that is, mortal means death-doomed, subject to death. This mortal must put on immortality, that means impossible to kill. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. You see, death has no sting when you're free from sin. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, live in such a way that if He were to come in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye, in the next time you blink your eye, if He came, that you would be ready to meet Him, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now turn back with me to the Gospel of Luke, to the 18th chapter. And let me show you what Jesus is going to be looking for when He returns. I know there are some that think He's going to be looking for great works. Well, when He comes, I'm going to show Him the hospital I built. When He comes, I'm going to show Him all the people that I got saved. When He comes, I'm going to show Him all the money I gave. When He comes, I'm going to show Him all the chicken salad sandwiches I made. When He comes, I'm going to show Him all the times I was in the nursery. When He comes, I'm going to show Him that I have a perfect attendance pin for 14 years from my Sunday school. When He comes, I'm going to show Him that my name is on the pew in our church. When He comes, I'm going to show Him my baptismal certificate. But watch the 18th verse here, or the 18th chapter of Luke and the 8th verse. And I want to read the last part, the last sentence in the 8th verse. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find everyone with a baptismal certificate? Shall He find everyone with a prayer journal? No, what is it He's looking for? Will He find faith? Will He find faith? Will He find faith? What kind of faith? 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Can you find that? You still with me? You haven't gone to sleep yet, have you? Been awfully quiet this morning. You'd think I was preaching somebody's funeral. Somebody was lost. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And beginning to read in verse 6. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. This is the last writing that we have from him. And he's writing to Pastor Timothy, who is the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knows he's going to die. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The crown is for those who are living for his appearing. Now, I don't mean that, and I don't believe Paul means that we are to sit on the stairs of the platform here and come quickly, Lord Jesus, and just vegetate here until he comes. I don't think that's not the way he wants us to live. But there ought to be a sense about us that governs the choices that we make, governs the things we choose to do, governs the things we choose to say, governs the attitudes that we permit to occupy us. That if we have a love for his appearing, an expectation, an anticipation of his appearing, I'm not saying that we ought to live in fear. That is not appropriate. And I would not be preaching that this morning, a spirit of, you better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why, because Jesus Christ is coming to town. Now see, that's what that's all about, isn't it? That's fear. And that is parents trying to get kids to do right out of fear. The Bible says, fear not. When the angel came and announced the birth of Jesus, fear not. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, etc., etc., etc. And so, I don't want you to mistake what I'm saying this morning. What I am saying is that we ought to have a sense about us that would say, I don't want to have regret when he comes. I don't want to have to apologize to him for anything. John says it this way, that we would be not ashamed at his coming. Not frightened, but ashamed. And that's what I think Paul is referring to here, unto all of them that love his appearing. Now, in closing today, I want to take you to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. I referred at some length earlier to how this is going to take place. That when the Lord returns, when he comes in the cloud, when the archangel shouts, when the voice of the trumpet sounds, when the dead in Christ are raised, and when those who are alive and are in Christ are instantly changed from mortal to immortal and corruptible to incorruption. I said to you that the way that would occur is by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that brooded like a mother hen upon the chaotic waters that constituted the earth at the beginning of recorded time in our Bible. The Scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit brooded over the deep. God spoke, and the Holy Spirit did, and things happened. Miraculous, supernatural, things that even our greatest scientists today are still in the process of discovering, all the things he did. Things that I suspect it will take us eternity to find out. All that God created and all of the wonders of the things that he made. He spoke his word and his Spirit did the work. That's exactly what's going to happen on the day that that trumpet sounds. And here's the verse. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know what the word quicken means? Make alive. He will take by His Spirit. It's I tell you, get full of the Spirit and stay full is what this is all about. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and stay full. Live in such a way that He's not quenched, that He's not grieved, that He's not driven away. Because it is that Spirit, not some spirit out here. It's not some spirit that's in heaven now and is going to somehow come to earth. It's the Spirit that's already in you. That Holy Spirit that is in you is the power of God resident inside you to change your body. You say, Pastor Vic, how is that going to happen but the bodies that are in the grave? Lord just spoke this to me now. Okay, it's a dead body in the grave. How is the Spirit that's in him going to change that body? And I remember a story from the life of Elisha. I believe it was Elisha. Elisha died and they buried him. And they decided they would bury another guy on top of him in the same grave. You remember that story? They took the guy to the grave site. And they laid him down in the grave and he popped up alive. Because there was something still in Elisha's dead bones. It is not difficult for me to believe that the Spirit of God that was in Lois's live mother and my live father is still active in a sense that I don't quite understand. I believe it. I don't understand it. But I am really glad about that story that's there, you know, in the life of Elisha. But that same Spirit will quicken those bodies. Not coming from somewhere else, but already there. I don't understand. Let me say it this way. I do not understand everything I know. I know a lot more than I understand. Does that make sense to you? I know a lot more than I understand. For example, I know Jesus. I don't understand everything there is to know about Him. If that same Spirit that raised up Jesus dwell in you, that same Spirit will raise you up from the dead on the day of His appearing. So let's live. Ready for that. Let's live. Let's not quench Him. Let's live full of the Holy Ghost. Let's live walking in the Spirit. Would you stand with me, please? And let's see. Do you think we could sing this 11th verse? Do you think maybe we could put some music to that and sing this 11th verse here? Help me out. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, dwell in you. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. He shall quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. Yes, we can sing it. Hey. We haven't sung that in a long time. But that's a good one, isn't it? That's a good song. And a wonderful truth in there. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for your words of encouragement today, for your words of instruction, and for your words of revelation. We're grateful for them all. And it is our prayer, Lord, that Spirit that lives in us will day by day, moment by moment, prompt us, motivate us, and move us out of areas that would be dangerous to us, and always keep us walking in the center of your will for us. Living sensitive to the fact that your promise is as sure as anything can be. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my words shall not pass away. In Jesus' name, Lord, we are living expectantly and in anticipation of your coming. We would say, come quickly, Lord Jesus, but until you do, make our lives count for the work of your kingdom here on earth. In your name, Jesus, we offer all of these prayers and all that we've done this morning. And everybody said,